What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, October 10th, 2019. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the former informer, Imran Khan.
Howdy, Greg. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
Do you miss the jacket?
It's very airy. I mean, like, so like we have the fan right here, and every time the fan would just like turn your way, it would go like, yeah,
flare out like a cape.
Yeah, it was pretty. That was nice, especially in like a hot studio.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
Because so, it gets cooking in here. Mm-hmm. You know better than most. Yeah.
But that said, it's also like a comical clown jacket.
Sure. Yeah.
And on me, it was just the funny. Like, I literally had to roll up the thing so I could just use my hands to use the computer.
Sorry.
Yeah.
But you did it.
I did it.
Now, Barrett. I want to tell you, I'm panicking a little bit here, all
What's
right?
Up?
I did not bring in Pumpkin. I brought in the Pumpkin jacket. Uh-oh. I did not bring in Pumpkin the mug. Can you go get me my Pumpkin?
Yes.
Thank you. I'll dump my coffee into it, all right? Yeah. I swear the show won't progress beyond housekeeping while you're gone. You have to run. Don't run. He's running.
Yeah, I saw you in the kitchen earlier. I assumed you were bringing out the mug.
It's, you know what I mean? I am off my game today. You saw it when I was back there chilling with you singing Lizzo, and I looked at the clock. I'm like, oh, God, it's 10. It's 9:59 right now. We got to go.
That is a very our common kind of funny refrain of how the hell is it already said time?
Whatever time it is. Yeah. It happens around here. Because there's so much news happening, ladies and gentlemen, like the Blizzard employees walking out. SIEEU. Having some layoffs and more. Thank you, Barrett. We're going to talk about it all because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Patreon.com/KindaFunnyGames. You can give us your questions, comments, concerns, everything under the video game sun. Then tune in to watch us record the show live on Twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to KindaFunny.com/YoreWrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you, we are headed to EGLX next weekend. Basically, a week from tomorrow, me, Nick, and Andy are headed over to Toronto. We're going to get in there. You got to drop. That's, they say Toronto weird. We say it Toronto. They're like Toronto.
Say it like my grandparents.
Run it all together.
Yeah. Huh? You say it like my grandparents.
See?
Monday, Tuesday.
Isn't this the whole thing that like...
Yeah, that whole
there's
area,
a, there's
yeah.
a no. That there's a theory that I'm your time traveling grandpa, right?
I'm talking about my other grandparents.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay, yeah, okay, fine. Yeah. Anyways, we'll be in Toronto next weekend, Saturday and Sunday, doing a whole bunch of panels. You can catch us on the Kinda Funny panel. You can catch us at the autograph signing. I don't have details on that. It's not on the site yet. I know what time it is.
Yeah.
What time is it?
It's 12:30 p.m.
on Saturday.
And then later that day is the Smash Brothers Royal Rumble.
That's 7:30.
And then
there's a trophy. You could win it.
And then the next day is the Kinda Funny panel.
11 a.m. I'm pretty confident in that.
Okay.
But
the Smash
day.
Brothers thing yeah. and the panel are both
Wait,
on
what
the
does that
main
mean?
Stage.
You're going to be hungover as hell.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. That's how it goes.
All right.
Trust me.
Just making sure you know.
This ain't my first convention, Imran. All right. We'll let you know everything.
That's why you do the panel the first day, so you're like spry and awake.
I haven't been spry and awake since 2011. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Blackjack and Mohammed Muhammad. Today we're brought to you by Hymns and Quip, but I'll tell you about that later because it's time to get into what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. 7 items on the Roper Report.
What the fuck, Greg? A Baker's dozen.
Christ. Okay.
On top of that being just, this has just been a nonstop week of news where
yes.
everything goes like the 50-minute mark, the Roper Report. I want to give Barrett a shout out for powering through all his bits with a Pop-Tart in his mouth. Appreciate that. I appreciate that. You didn't choke. You didn't flinch at all. Number one. There was a Blizzard employee walkout yesterday. This is Blake Montgomery at the Daily Beast. A small group of Activision Blizzard employees walked out of work Tuesday afternoon to protest the company's actions against a gamer who expressed support for pro-democracy protesters in Hong Kong during an official live stream. The game publisher behind online multiplayer hits like World of Warcraft and Overwatch banned Hong Kong-based professional Hearthstone player Chung Ing Wei from the game's lucrative pro league for a year on Tuesday. Chung, who uses the handle Blitzchung, prompted the ban after saying "Liberate Hong Kong, revolution of our times" during an interview about his tournament wins. Blizzard's actions forced him to forfeit $10,000 in prize money he had already won. Quote, "The action Blizzard took against the player was pretty appalling, but not surprising," a longtime Blizzard employee told the Daily Beast. "Blizzard makes a lot of money in China, but now the company is in this awkward position where we can't abide by our values. I'm disappointed," another current Blizzard employee said. "We want people all over the world to play our games, but no action like this can be made with political neutrality." The employees spoke on condition of anonymity for fear of professional consequences. Protesting, Blizzard employees from multiple departments gathered at an iconic statue of an orc warrior charging into battle in the center of the company's main campus in Irvine, California, starting around 10 a.m. Pacific time. The demonstration's numbers fluctuated throughout the day. The two employees ranging, that's what it says, from a dozen to 30, and the protesters departed somewhere in the late afternoon. The protesters would have been visible to the executive offices, which overlooked the main plaza, the two employees said. The company did not immediately respond to a request for comment. The Chinese tech giant Tencent owns 5% of Blizzard, and the gaming company earned 12% of its revenue from the Asia-Pacific region last quarter, according to an earnings report. A person claiming to be a Blizzard employee and using the handle StandingWHK posted a picture to Reddit and Imgur that showed roughly 20 employees involved in the demonstration. Several employees held umbrellas, a visual symbol adopted by the protesters in Hong Kong. Two current Blizzard employees authenticated the photo to the Daily Beast. The protesters also solicited signatures for a petition expressing displeasure with Blizzard's leadership's handling of the matter that they plan to submit to executives, the two employees said. Discussion about Blizzard's action and the protest, they said, continued Wednesday. The two employees said Blizzard executives have not taken any public action against the protesters. One of the employees who spoke to the Daily Beast felt that the protest signaled a new era for Blizzard. The company has been complying with government censorship requests within its games in order to keep doing business in one of its biggest markets, he said. Quote, doing business in China, it's been easier to ignore the authoritarianism of the government because they were asking us to do things like remove a skeleton from the game, he said. The stakes are much higher now. What was previously an obvious decision is much less obvious now. Imran, welcome to this week of Kinda Funny Games Daily. How you feeling?
I feel like it's going to be very hard to be as good as Gary Whitta was about this yesterday.
Did he say everything that needed to be said?
He said basically everything. Like, he definitely went with the right place of, holy shit, Blizzard stepped in it.
Yeah.
I cannot believe how much of an unforced error this entire thing was. And it was, they're going to think of it as a forced error because to them, China says, okay, do this thing, China says jump, and they say how high.
Yeah.
So the fact that Blizzard's own are their own employees to go in, I don't want to be at a company that operates that way, is a fantastic learning experience for all of us, a teachable moment, but I'm also kind of worried, like, does Blizzard corporate get this, or are they still looking at that line of, well, China money matters more than our employee labor?
You, of course, are more dialed in and know the industry from such a newsy way. Mm-hmm. And you have your sources. Every time I ask you something in the morning about this, you're like, oh, I talked to this person. I'm like, Jesus Christ, all right. And I'm not asking you to tell me source information, but what is your read on this situation? Was it, oh my God, let's live by our bylaws and try not to piss people off? Was it China saying something? If it was China saying something to Blizzard, why is Epic being like, China owns, or Tencent owns more of us, and we're like, no way you can censor us. Like, I don't understand.
So it's a couple of complicating factors
sure,
there.
Sure, of course.
I don't know that the Chinese government necessarily told Blizzard, hey, you need to do something about this, or they massively overreacted. We're like, oh, China's not going to be happy about, like, let's take an older example of Devotion.
Okay.
That was the Steam horror game that had a joke inside. It was made in Taiwan. It was not a joke, like, on a texture somewhere that referred to the Chinese president as Winnie the Pooh, which is a joke he hates.
Yeah.
And that game ended up being review bombed, and the business license of the publisher was taken. The publishers withdrew. The game was withdrawn off Steam for a while. I don't think it was Valve's doing. I think it was the developers doing, but still. Like, that was just them not even necessarily Chinese government saying, you guys need to do all this. It was them going, the Chinese government is going to come after us. We need to take care of this.
Gotcha.
So I think what Blizzard's doing is, we make so much money in China.
14% or 12% of its revenue.
And that's
last quarter.
Not even like all of it. That's like, the Warcraft movie was huge in China. Mm. It was, I think it did better there than anywhere else in the world.
Okay. Kindoffunny.com/Sheryl.
Yeah. But like that, they're looking at stuff like that and thinking, okay, we can't be banned.
Let's not piss
there.
These people off. Yeah. Okay.
We can't run into a situation where we're not going to be able to sell games for 12, 14 months while they sort this out. Let's try and cut this off. That's maybe an optimistic view of what's going on.
Yeah.
I think they're maybe reconsidering how viable that is, but at the same time, they can't do anything that pisses off China, because that means they lose access to that market. Like, it's one thing to say we're gonna piss off Chinese customers. It's another thing to say we're gonna piss off the Chinese government, because at that point you lose tons of money. Like you said, 14% of your total operating revenue. Why Tim Sweeney could say it is because one, he makes more money here than he does in China. Like Epic Games Store, I believe, isn't available there.
Okay.
Fortnite is popular, but if they cut off Fortnite there, it's still popular in the rest of the world.
Sure. Yeah, like, it's still the biggest game going.
Yeah, he will lose some percentage of money, but not that much.
Gotcha.
If, say, Tencent with... Because Tencent's an investor, not necessarily an owner.
Okay.
So they're a 40% investor. What they do is they put up that money up front, and then the only reason they would give Epic money now is if they were giving them a short-term loan, which Epic doesn't need because Epic makes a fuck ton of money. So... If Tencent withdrew, somebody would like come in and try and like NetEase would come in and say maybe we don't care about the Chinese government, or maybe a Korean company or something like that would come in and just fill that hole themselves.
Get those shares.
Yeah.
Maybe Kind of Funny does it.
Yeah.
Maybe seems like this Fortnite game isn't going anywhere. You know?
Yeah. We should totally invest in Epic because Tencent does make a ton of money off that. They off the what's the word I'm looking for? The dividends. It pays dividends for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So Tim Sweeney can go out there and say, I don't care. Like, I'm not going to do anything. If one of our Fortnite players says whatever they want to say, then they're fine. Blizzard is more afraid of losing the market.
Gotcha.
So if they do, like, piss off the Chinese government and they do lose access to, like, Overwatch and StarCraft and all that stuff, then that's such a huge chunk of not only their esports stuff, their actual, like, game-buying revenue that I could see that also being a danger for employees. The problem isn't necessarily that Blizzard made this terrible decision.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, for sure, they made an awful, terrible decision. Almost every party here is in the wrong, except the actual people who are victimized by it.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that China knows they can control the message by controlling American corporations.
Right.
Which is the most fucked up thing about it.
Did you see this clip today? We talked about the NBA stuff yesterday, and now this clip getting shared today of this woman asking a question about this to the NBA players, right? And they're getting cut off, and it's horrible.
I saw somebody talking about, like, they just said, like, are they screamed, like, pro-Hong Kong something during a game, and they got taken away by security.
Yeah, saw that. Yeah, that was in Philadelphia, I believe.
Yeah, and, like, that they know they can control the message, and that speaks to how intertwined and entrenched corporations are with the way we perceive media and perceive the world, that they know they can stamp down on news based on how they control corporations. So if they don't want people like saying pro Hong Kong things, they tap the shoulder of the corporation and go, hey, can you deal with this?
Yeah.
And then suddenly they're not too into the Streisand effect idea.
Yeah. No, apparently not. Yeah.
I'm like, I don't follow Hearthstone. If this guy just said this thing and it was just that, like nothing happened to him, this would not be a story I would have ever heard.
This is what we talked about with Gary yesterday, right? If this is a slap on the wrist, or like, hey, don't do this. This is, you were taking away this amount of money, whatever. Even if it was one game, okay. Would have been weird. That sucks. But like the fact that it's like totally in, it's happening at the same time as all this NBA stuff. So now you have like two giant fandoms that are suddenly hyper aware of all this shit that's happening.
And they're taking a bullet that like we're going to see also in the future controversy about, say, Valve. Because Valve is just, I think, 3 months ago announced their plans to launch Steam in China, officially. Mm-hmm. Like, people have been getting it through VPNs for a while, but this is an official thing. So they have to just kind of keep their heads down and hope that no controversy happens over the next 3 months.
There's no way it will.
Yeah, like, if a game comes out that pisses off China and China says, hey, Valve, remove this, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Are they going to hope that like the developer just takes care of it again, like Devotion?
Yeah.
It is a mess, and I think Blizzard's executives are sitting in their whatever ivory tower, like waiting for one line to cross the other line. And if the American protest or whatever, an American boycott like a deletion of accounts happen so much that like our wallet overtakes China's wallet, then they're going to, you know, reverse his decision. I don't think they have a good option aside from that.
Well, I have questions about all that. Lee Polero wrote in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can, and says, people are talking about BlizzCon, but Overwatch for Switch comes out before that. How do you think this will affect sales of Overwatch Switch? We are always told to vote with our wallet, but do you think this port will fall flat in part due to this Blizzard fiasco? Thank you for your insight, Lee.
So I was talking to a friend yesterday, She works at Nintendo's customer service as one of the people who like answers the phones.
Sure.
And, yeah. So she was telling me we've had a surprising number of people canceling Overwatch today. And I think she's not as keyed in. So she's like, what do you think that reason is? Like, is it a cross progression or whatever? It's like, did you not hear about the Hong Kong thing? So when I posted it on Twitter, I got a bunch of people saying like, yeah, I just canceled my thing too. And I don't know that the port's going to fall flat. Boycotts, historically, it's difficult to get a beat of how much a boycott affects things, especially if you're not, like this person was, not keyed into the news.
Yeah, that's the problem. How many people play Overwatch and enjoy Overwatch and have no idea who makes Overwatch? Don't think about it on that level.
I bet maybe like 5% of the people who watch the Direct know what happened here and want to do something affecting it. And I've also had people tweeting at me saying, like, I love Overwatch, and I'm just going to compartmentalize this. Like, I don't want to think about Blizzard being bad because I want to play this game on the go.
Right.
And, like, honestly, I don't hate that. I'm not going to be angry at somebody for that kind of mentality because we all do that sort of thing. There are things, I love Nintendo, and Nintendo's done shit that I'm like, this is worthy of, like, criticizing them to the point of not buying their games.
Sure.
But I still have to rationalize and compartmentalize, and we're all kind of hypocrites that way.
Yeah.
But that's fine because you can't really live your life. Like, I'm sure, I bet you I would find, if I looked on my iPhone for things that Apple has done, I will find numerous, like their taxes, their human rights abuses in China, stuff like that.
Well, that's the thing you're talking about, like using your iPhone, right?
Yeah.
Like yesterday was another one where it got shut, and it was talking, Gary mentioned it too, like taking the Taiwanese flag out of the Apple emojis and all this stuff. Like it's happening in other places. Maybe not as severely, maybe it depends on, you know, I mean, it's a slippery slope. Once you make one concession, where does the concession end?
Yeah. And I had a conversation with a friend yesterday, who is a huge, huge Hearthstone fan. Like, it's pretty much the only game he plays anymore. And he was saying, like, I have to rationalize and compartmentalize because otherwise, like, I tell myself this is Blizzard Esports and not, like, the rest of the company.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I've seen you not treat other companies that way.
Yeah.
I've seen you like boycott Nintendo games because Allison Rapp got fired.
Sure.
Like, what are you doing? Like, how, if you tell me you're rationalizing it, I understand that, but I want you to understand personally that's kind of a lie to yourself. It's like, yeah. Like, there's nothing you can really do about it because he's not going to give up Hearthstone. He just enjoys that game so much.
And that's the idea, right? I feel of that line in the sand of it's so easy to sit there and criticize something in this industry and that's a horrible decision and people should boycott when it's not yours,
right?
When it's not it's not your game, right? Like, the Blizzard stuff, like, I'm horrified about everything that's happening. I want them to reverse this decision. I want them to have some kind of statement here where it's like, no, we're not. But it's like, it's also, I don't play Blizzard games, like, right. You know what I mean, in general. Not out of protest already, just because they're not my jam.
Yeah, they're a
like
wildly...
Diablo.
Yeah.
If tomorrow they announce a new Diablo, that would be like the, cool, what's my line and how do I feel about it? But like, Switch on, or Overwatch and Switch, I wasn't going to play. WoW, I wasn't going to play.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? The worst it's been, I think, is that on Monday, they sent us the WoW Classic Special Edition.
Yeah.
Hoping we'd unbox it.
Apparently they just like randomly send that to people, because I talked to some of the people like, yeah, Blizzard's sending me a package for some reason.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah. I mean, like, we'd like doing unboxings and seeing cool shit, and we'll give it. And then it was like, it got here Monday. I was like, oh, fuck no, I'm not unboxing this. You know what I mean? Not this. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, unless I can use it, I guess.
No, yeah, I was talking to someone too. Like, they were saying, oh, we got that, like, WoW thing. And I was saying, why don't you give it away for Extra Life? And then all the Blizzard stuff happened.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they're still doing that. Like,
right.
Maybe it'll blow over then. But, like, the answer of, you know, what do you do for, like, boycotts and stuff like that? Like, boycotts should be a personal thing.
Yeah.
If you're going in there for the intention of trying to hurt the company's business, that's a noble thing if it's a moral cause. But you shouldn't expect it necessarily.
Yeah.
Because, like, even if there are people canceling Overwatch, who knows if that's actually going to make a dent in Blizzard's, you know, whatever they're operating.
It'll be the first test. However, the next one I think will be BlizzCon.
Yes.
And Borzin00 writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, good morning, Greg and Imran. The continued outrage of people at Blizzard is continuing. And with Blizzard stopping account cancelization.
That's not a thing, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You and I talked about this earlier, actually. What's the story with that? Because it was that I saw the tweet going around of like, there's four, they've blocked four different ways or to authorize, to authenticate your account, and so you can't delete your account, and yada, yada,
it's
yada.
Just that their servers and their
crap,
that software sucks ass, yeah.
A shoutcaster dropping out of BlizzCon and all related Hearthstone/Blizzard events, and a proposed walkout, which actually happened. Mm-hmm. I state the question, when will it end? I know saying the right thing now is super important, but I feel that saying nothing is just as bad as saying the wrong thing at this moment. Is there an end in sight for this, or is the 24-hour news cycle going to do its job and just make this disappear? Something I think Blizzard and Activision want.
So, I mean, when it refers to, like, BlizzCon, I do think there will be outrage at BlizzCon. This could not have been worst time for them.
And the only way it could have been worse is if it BlizzCon was next week.
Yeah.
The fact that you have a couple weeks for something to happen, to people to simmer down, for Blizzard to say something to kind of make it okay.
Yeah.
Which I don't think they will. I don't think there's a way
The only way they could do it is they could reverse it and, like, we could say make a new policy that esports people can say whatever they want. We're not going to listen to... We're not going to worry so much about what the market might do in another area.
Sure.
But I do.
And then have Blitzchung open the conference.
Why not?
Lights go up, curtain goes up, and he's there. And then it'd be like fucking outrage. And he has a sign, he has a shirt, whatever.
Yeah. If that's like, they want me to, you know, have an outreach program for people like in China, or like they want me to just do whatever I want.
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
giving me back my money. Maybe I'm not going to play Hearthstone anymore because this is a bad experience.
Yeah.
But like, it would be actually be good if they involved him in these things.
Yeah.
That said, I've been hearing for a long time that, like, this BlizzCon is supposed to be the make good for last year's.
Right.
That, like, this year...
Diablo Immobile.
Yeah, when they said the infamous, like, don't you all you guys have phones, I always thought the reaction was a little overblown to that.
Yeah.
That, like, maybe people didn't need to be pissy
about
it. So
mean. Yeah. The guy who got up in the Q&A was just an April Fool's Day joke. I was like, oh,
yeah,
that's really mean.
Like, they were trying their best with the tools they had available to them.
Yeah.
But this year, I think that, like, that level of rage is kind of warranted.
Yeah.
The question is, are they going to be able to maintain that rage if, say, Diablo 4 gets announced, if Overwatch 2 gets announced, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, if this is their Sony E3 of Dreams conference-style thing, is the audience going to be like, no, we're still pissed at you?
Yeah.
Like, through the opening keynote and through the conferences, is, like, are they going to trot the Blizzard founders up there to say, no, we still believe in Blizzard? Are they going to, like, what are they going to do? Are they going to have that, like, opening video package of, here's all the employees that you should not get mad at?
Yeah.
Like, this Blizzard is more than just an executive team. Here's the people that, like, they, you know, Bethesda always does that of, like, I have two kids.
Yeah, I love
working at Bethesda.
I used to play Elder Scrolls, and now I work on it and all that shit.
Please don't be mad at us about Fallout 70, you know, that sort of thing. Yeah. Are they going to be able to do that? And I'm curious, because, like you said, there's a number of weeks until BlizzCon.
Right.
What can Blizzard do in that time to defuse this bomb?
Yeah.
Are they going to be able to do it with, like, whatever is available to them? And once they get to BlizzCon and they start announcing products people want, is there enough rage in the Blizzard audience, or is it too bought in? Are they going to, like, fanboyism is not a bad thing necessarily. It's, you know, it's fun. Being hyped for things is fun. I lose my mind at Nintendo Directs. I lose my mind. It's like Sony E3s, all that stuff. Video games are increasingly intersecting with moral quandaries.
Yeah.
And this is
real life keeps bumping up to our hobby.
Which is, if this happened 20, 30 years ago, like, it wouldn't be, because honestly, we wouldn't care about it. We wouldn't have it, like, we wouldn't have the internet to tell us.
I was going to say, the news wouldn't have spread, right? I'd get an EGM or Game Informer article, like, in a month and a half, 2 months.
Yeah.
Then I would know, but BlizzCon would be over.
It would be a small box in, like, the letter to the editor section
of
Game
Pro.
And I hope this will be, like, this is the first big test of this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Sirens
are going to be on our end in a second.
I wonder if people are going to be able to hold the line.
Yeah, it's a big question. And that's what I get lost in thinking about BlizzCon being so far away. Because I know it doesn't seem like that much time, but there's still so much time where Blizzard is going to have to say something, right?
Yeah.
I think it was Eurogamer today, maybe somebody else. I think it was Eurogamer. Had a thing that, like, basically a company spokesperson told them, like, they're trying to figure out what to say.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't a direct quote. It wasn't a statement that didn't even make the rep report, because then you would just come up in a conversation this way.
Yeah. I mean, Borza mentions the 24-hour news cycle. I was surprised when we came in today and we're still talking about Blizzard.
Yeah.
Because it feels kind of like that should have passed.
Yeah.
Just, like, from a news perspective of, wow, a third day story on a video game thing is insane.
Yeah.
I remember I emailed THQ Nordic, and I emailed their partners about the 8chan thing a few months ago, before I got let go.
Yeah.
And one of the guys I talked to was like, it was months ago. Let it go. Like,
this really? That was their response?
That was their response.
Jesus.
And, like, I've talked to other, like, reporters that have done the same thing, and, like, their partners have said the same thing.
Yeah.
Of, yeah, this isn't a story anymore. It's
over.
But
that's why this one's so interesting, because I feel like it's so different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I feel like, again, I don't know if you mentioned you heard yesterday's show, right? Like, I feel like when the boycotts usually come around, right, it's for something goofy. Oh, yeah. They're only on Epic Games Store. Oh, it's a thing that you're angry about, but you're not mad about. Like, this isn't like, I mean, we're talking about human rights and freedom here. We're talking about something so much bigger than video games and where they're sold, right? Yeah. In the fact that, like, again, this Blitzchung is being silenced when he's trying to speak out for his homeland, and it is this American backlash from it where we're supposed to be the ones who are supposed to be. It's going so far beyond Blizzard values into what we think of ourselves as Americans, mm-hmm. and what we've done, and what we've done, what as a country, the country's done for so long, and what we pride ourselves on.
Yeah.
And so to see that stepped on, that's where I think so many people are getting riled up about it.
I will say, and this is probably a very controversial thing, and this should not be taken as any kind of defense of Blizzard or the Chinese government or anything.
Oh man, start, get everybody crack your knuckles and get your reset era thread ready for whatever Imran's about to say.
This is a thing that I've noticed, like with Epic and with Tencent, with like those. Goes back to like Ellen Powell and the Reddit stuff and like Tencent investing in Reddit. There is a segment of the audience that does not really care that much about Hong Kong protests and pro-democracy things and uses these kind of things as a vicious kind of orientalism of just saying, well, I don't like China. So this thing that's like speaks bad about China is a thing I'm going to get angry about. And that's been very obvious in internet discussions for a while. And I just want to say, like, if that's your reasoning, if that's why you're coming into it, because I've noticed like there have been some people praising some kind of alt-right assholes on the internet that have been like, maybe they work for Blizzard and now they're talking bad about Blizzard or whatever. And they're saying, well, now they finally seen the light because they're saying bad things about this thing. Like, no, they're just assholes. Like, they're xenophobic assholes. And that's why they're getting involved in this. I'd say this is a complicated subject that involves a lot of things, but we don't necessarily need to embrace the bad side of it too, just because they're on our side.
I got you.
Like, criticize Blizzard all you, please criticize Blizzard, criticize the Chinese government, but leave, like, when you recognize someone is doing this as a bad faith argument, excise them from the conversation.
Okay. Well said.
Thank you, Imran.
I don't know who we're talking about. Tell me later. So yeah, that answered Borson's question. Some you're wrongs. Actually, I know you were right in here. Lord of Pwn says the World of Warcraft movie made more than $225 million in China. Worldwide, it made more than $439 million. Domestically, only made $47 million. So it made 51% of its worldwide box office money in China.
Yeah, and
so
you know there's executives looking at that being like, we can't piss off Chinese government ever.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, that's, you know, that. It's interesting to get to this point because I remember when it started with movies,
mm-hmm.
and again, being Greg and not following movies or anything, and just like I was like, I don't understand why it's such a bad thing, right? That like, oh, like in the Independence Day sequel, whatever the hell that was called,
yeah,
like it was like there was a thing that like I think one of the pilots had to be Chinese, like right. she was this badass female pilot and she like saved the day or whatever, and I remember everyone being like, oh, that's because of this, because and like when like in some of the Transformers movies, I think I remember reading articles.
Iron Man 3, like there was a pretty significant plot point of him getting cured that is like referenced in later movies, but only in the Chinese version.
Oh, really?
Like, because he went to a Chinese hospital and like very famous Chinese actors playing doctors saved his life.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's in the American version of as well. Of
what did he get saved? What happened?
Him getting the shards, like the things in his chest that the,
yeah, yeah, the
power reactor.
Yeah, the arc reactor. Yeah.
He does get that surgically removed at the end of 3.
Okay. Yeah. I know
by
there's a
Chinese
scene.
Chinese doctors in China?
That I do not remember.
Because it's like the Chinese version of Iron Man 3 is like 20 minutes longer for that scene.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that scene in the American version of the movie.
This is
like,
the end while he's talking,
like,
right?
Yeah, minute maybe.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, that's like they've been doing regional cuts for a while, so I kind of wonder, like, is Disney has the power to just go, we'll make different movies for China. Does, like, I think Blizzard also has that kind of power to go, like, we should not be afraid of pissing off China, but we'll see if they have that mental fortitude.
Is there an answer here, Imran, where they just make patches and different versions of the game for China?
So that's not the worry. Is not necessarily like they do that essentially. Like they remove skeletons for China,
yeah,
like
from the floor or whatever. Yeah. Like you're talking about, yeah.
But like the problem is that they don't want to get pushed out of the market. And like we go back to Devotion, China was so pissed off about that they took the business license from one of the publishers. They say it's unrelated, but obviously it's related.
Sure. Yeah.
So like Blizzard doesn't want to run into a situation where they just can't sell games, or China has wrapped up in their bureaucracy for 12-14 months and they lose a significant amount of revenue during that time.
Gotcha. And that's what kind of happened with Tencent, right? Remember earlier in the year, or wait, late last year, earlier this year, where they couldn't sell games in China for a while.
They
right?
couldn't sell. I don't recall if that was the exact same. I know there was a thing where they couldn't sell PUBG, and it took so long for PUBG to get approved for mobile devices.
Yeah.
That they just made a new game that looks like PUBG, but it's like he was far closer to China, and it became a very like pro army, pro nationalism kind of game.
Gotcha. All right. Nanobiologist has two in here. Apple today removed an app from the Hong Kong App Store that was used by protesters to track police movement.
Is that still the case? Because I know they removed one and then they ended up putting it back.
No, okay.
I don't know if that's the same app or a different one.
Of course, yeah. There's no citation here and no article. He just says that they said it was due to the app being used to bully and hurt civilians. Mm. And then he also says the WoW 15th Anniversary Collector's Edition was just released. I didn't know there was a WoW Classic Special Edition. Again, if you didn't get tipped off when I was talking about it, I don't play WoW, so I don't really know what I got over there. And then when everything went to shit, I was like, well, fuck these guys.
Red plays WoW, and she tells me about it, and I'm like, I don't know anything you're talking about.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, there's a Grimlock, and there's an orc over there. I don't know. Number two! We're going to talk about some layoffs at Sony Interactive Entertainment EU. This is Rebecca Valentine over at GamesIndustry.biz.
Speak of the devil.
Sony Interactive Entertainment's European branch has reportedly laid off dozens amid a multi-division restructuring. GamesIndustry.biz sister site Video Games Chronicle reports that affected divisions included marketing and PR, in addition to layoffs also occurring on the U.S. Creative Services team, with at least one employee sharing their situation on Twitter. Some employees are being asked to re-interview for former positions. This announcement was made to employees on the same day as a Wired report that shared new details on Sony's upcoming PlayStation 5, including its confirmed name and release window of holiday 2020. Some employees reportedly feel this is a sign of the growing influence of SIE America and the reduced influence on the EU side, with American executives coming to the EU to make the announcement and EU employees not being informed of the Wired article reveals at all. This restructuring appears to be a continuation of the ongoing shift across all of Sony, the effects of which have seen Jim Ryan appointed SIE president and CEO earlier this year, and former SIE Worldwide Studio Chairman Sean Layden departing the company unexpectedly at the start of this month. GamesIndustry.biz has reached out to Sony for comment, though VGC notes that Sony declined to comment on the news. What's happening, Imran?
They're correct. Like, the employees who think this is an issue of America getting more influence and Europe not like getting less influence, they're obviously right. I don't know if that caused the layoffs.
Yeah.
But there are, like, Sony said this is redundancy.
Exactly.
Which meant, like, they have people in the American branch that do this job that don't necessarily need them in the European branch. So it's awful they had those layoffs. I kind of feel like the Wired thing is maybe designed to, like,
distract
a little bit, like have some good news.
Here's some great news about PlayStation 5.
Yeah. Like, wow, Matt Lauer had a TikTok story the same day he gets accused of sexual assault, like that kind of thing.
Okay.
So, like, there's a PR company involved making sure that they're
Matt Lauer. He's still not doing nothing, is he? Is he back on TV yet?
He's on TikTok now.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
He's doing news on TikTok.
Yeah.
Does he still have the button under his desk that locks people in his room? Fucking creep.
That's, I think, probably that's at the heart of the sexual assault.
Yeah, 100% of this. Yeah. All right.
But. We talked a little bit about when Sean Layden left.
Yeah.
Of, like, Jim Ryan is in charge now. That, taking off the coat.
Yeah.
As very sexily as possible. Like,
exactly. Well, I want to give people, if they're watching on YouTube, they deserve something.
But Jim Ryan is in charge now. He did come from Sony Europe, but obviously he wants a grander power base around him, which makes sense. Cause if Sony is being run, or PlayStation is being run from America.
Yes.
You want that. You want all the key roles to be filled in America.
Yes.
And, like, maybe there is a degree of, I don't want to say arrogance about it, but Sony doesn't really have competition in Europe. Like, Microsoft never really got a foothold. Nintendo never really got a foothold, despite 30 years of, like, their laissez-faire kind of, I don't know, well, leave it to Nintendo France to do whatever.
Yeah.
But I expect that this is Sony saying that we're consolidating the power base in America. All major decisions will run up through this tree.
Yeah.
You have covered PlayStation for a very long time.
I have.
You know, I'm sure you've heard in the last, like, 5 years, there's been a power struggle between Sony Europe and Sony America.
Because they've seen it going, right? Like, Multicalum wrote in asking about this, right? Hey, Greg and Imran, with today's news of mass layoffs at PlayStation UK and reports that the last 12 months have seen PlayStation's North American arm wielding increasing influence over the global business, I feel like the timing of the PS5 news and PlayStation Now reform and Sean Layden's departure is too coincidental not to be connected. Is PlayStation undergoing a shift? My response is no. It shifted in 2016. Like, mm-hmm. this is stuff I've been expecting for the longest time. From the Wikipedia, right? On January 26, 2016, Sony announced that effective April 1st, 2016, Sony Computer Entertainment and Sony Network Entertainment International will be reorganized and combined into a new company, Sony Interactive Entertainment. Unlike the former SCE, SIE is based in San Mateo, California, and represents the entire PlayStation brand, regional subsidiaries, and its content operations.
Yeah.
Like, you're talking about, you know, the wealth of knowledge I have from doing this for so long. Like, PlayStation used to be the most siloed first party, and it was the biggest pain in the fucking ass to deal with. And that's me having to deal with it in terms of, like, a first party exclusive. I want to do something with a first party exclusive. I want to do an exclusive on at IGN, right?
Mm-hmm.
Such a huge pain of hitting up American PR and then being like, we'd love to, but European PR, it has to do with something over there. So we're going to have to time out something where you can have the American exclusive. They can. And I'm like, no, IGN has a UK brand. No, it doesn't work that way. It needs to be this. Yeah. It needs to be. And I'm like, this is a granular problem, let alone to blow it up to them trying to run a business and do all these things and have different people talking. I'm leading Death Stranding coverage in America, but somebody else is leading it over here, and then we have to waste time talking to each other when we should just be talking to who we need to talk to.
Right. They're like, they're public facing problems too, like the Sony Europe, Sony America thing was like the result of that was the weird things with the trade shows and like where they're having press conferences. Yep. So like Sony America was trying to push PSX because it's in their backyard. They want it to be a bigger show. Meanwhile, Sony Europe's like, what about Paris Game Week, bitches? And
everybody's like, what about it? Nobody, what did we know?
Yeah, remember that one year that they like revealed, like, it was like, I think it was Ghost of Tsushima and a bunch of other shit at Paris Games Week.
Didn't they do Ghost of Tsushima? I remember, like, it was always, that was our, where we were always like, Quantic Dream's gonna do something.
Yeah.
It's gotta be David, it's in David Cage's backyard. He's gonna say something.
Yeah. But like, that tussle was a result of why PSX got canceled one year or why they've like de-emphasized stuff and things
and
like that.
And it's why you'd see this weird drip feed where like they couldn't come out, I think, sometimes and swing big because they needed to save stuff for the other shows.
Yeah. I've had to deal with them and like you said, they would say, oh, well, we need this European outlet to sign off on you getting this news item. I'm like, what? Like,
why?
You're Sony America PR. You guys are the heads of this. Like,
yeah, and I think that's what it is again, waking up to what the internet is and what the world is in 2019. For European, does it make sense? Don't get me wrong. It sucks people have lost their jobs. I'm not here trying to be fuck them. I'm just like, I can see the business strategy of like trying to bring everything under one roof and have it be the San Mateo office and have that be HQ and mother base. And that is where I'm sure the team in America can do the EU stuff they need to do too, in terms of marketing, in terms of this. Now, granted, of course, there's regional things, smaller outlets. It's more work for everybody. I don't know, but you figure that somebody has to have their eye on the ball for what's going on over there.
And like Jim Ryan was head of Sony Europe. So if anyone realizes how fractured that is, when he comes to head over PlayStation Worldwide, like the entire division for replacement consoles, he is going to change things so it becomes less fractured. I have a lot of disagreements with Jim Ryan, and I kind of wonder, like,
oh, so how you hate children?
I absolutely hate children.
He's trying to protect him with this crossplay business, but you hate kids. I didn't know.
But
fuck them kids.
Maybe not a thing you want. Like, I'm glad the audio was isolated there, but I do think he came to this thinking, I'm going to unify this because it makes more sense to like have everything run. Like, the buck needs to stop somewhere, and it should be near me, at very least.
Yeah.
Like, so, this, like you said, is this a shift? Yes. Is it a bad shift? I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. That's the other thing, is that, if it's for the best, who knows? I don't know. I'd be more interested in knowing, from that respect, what our European peers would be saying in terms of games coverage, as well as what is, you know, it's a very broad right now. There's been layoffs, marketing, PR, and creative services. Is there still are there still PR people there? Are there still any creative services people there? Like, you need someone who is boots on the ground in that thing. Otherwise, you know, you run into scenarios of you don't know how to promote necessarily to the EU.
Yeah, and I assume they still have like a marketing department and stuff like that. That are like, it's just that the decisions need to be like, decisions about where are we going to announce X game need to be done in one place.
Yeah.
And it's no longer Japan. It is San Mateo.
Yeah.
And
hotbed of video games.
It's beneficial for us because they're right next door.
Exactly.
But it does mean like when you're launching a new console, you don't want confusion about things that are said. Like, remember how bad the initial rollout of the PS3 was? Because they're like, we're launching in America, in Japan, in Europe, 6 months. Like, they can't have situations like that again.
Yeah.
Where it sounds, because one region couldn't get their act together about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Great point. Nanobiologist confirms, Imran, you are right. Ghost of Tsushima was revealed during Paris Games Week, October 2017.
Which is still super weird.
Very weird.
Yeah.
Number three, WB and IO Interactive are making a new game. Is another Hitman game or another, a new IP? Nobody really knows. Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment and independent video game developer IO Interactive today announced a worldwide publishing and distribution agreement to bring a new console and PC game experience to players worldwide. IO Interactive has two development studios in the Scandinavia region, IOI Copenhagen in Denmark, and the recently opened IOI Malmo in Sweden. And I know I didn't get it right, and I'm sorry. Both of which will be integral to in the development of the new game under this partnership. Warner Brothers and IO Interactive previously partnered for the release of various titles within the acclaimed Hitman series, including Hitman 2, Hitman Definitive Edition, and Hitman HD Enhanced Collection. IO Interactive is currently seeking high-quality talent across all game development disciplines to join the IOI Copenhagen and IOI Malmo Studios. Interesting candidates can apply at www.ioi.dk/jobs.
When you said, like, who knows if it's a new IP or a new Hitman game, I was like, I'm sure it's a new IP, because I remember them saying it, and I wanted to look it up in July this year. They mentioned they're working on a new IP and a new Hitman game.
So what could it be?
Yeah.
What's this partnership agreement? The way it reads, I imagine it's the new IP.
Yeah.
Because why wouldn't you just say that we're publishing the new Hitman, too?
Yeah.
Hitman
developers making a Hitman game. Exactly. It's not a huge story. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's a weird story to begin with. Of just like, hey, everybody, we signed an agreement to publish a game.
And it also makes sense for them to do the new IP to Warner Brothers as well, because then there's more eyes on the new IP, whereas Hitman is already like a
100%
known quantity.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure IO, Square Enix sold Hitman back to IO, so they're not going to, like, I think they wouldn't say we're partnering with WB again. They just say, like, WB's publishing this.
Exactly. Yeah. Interesting.
Hitman 2 was so fucking good.
Yeah?
I want to play it so bad.
It's great. Why don't you? There was a new map, I think, like, 2 weeks ago.
What's your excuse? You're playing, like, freaking 90-year-old Zelda games. Why can't you play Hitman 2?
Because Zelda's a classic, and I love it
so
much.
Oh, so you're saying Hitman 2 isn't a classic, huh?
I mean, it might be a modern classic. I don't know. I haven't played it yet.
I would actually say Hitman 2016 is a modern classic.
Damn.
I don't know how I feel about it. 2 is very similar, so I kind of take them as the same game.
Hitman 1, or, like, the Hitman from a couple of years ago, that was a PS Plus game at one point, right?
Yes. The first season was PS Plus.
I think I might have.
You redeemed it? Good job.
I think I redeemed it, but I'm not sure.
I don't like
sure.
that you think. You should know that. You know what I mean? it costs you nothing. You have 30 days to go in there and just redeem these games.
I know.
Games.
That's really hard, though.
Really not. Right?
Honestly, they're I don't know the last time I've redeemed a PS... Oh, Darksiders?
Definitive Edition?
The Darksiders 3. Like, they put the new one on there, so I'm like, all right, whatever.
Whatever.
I'll give it a
Might
shot.
Might as well. Remember Last of Us Remastered out right now. Everybody get it.
Oh, yeah. And MLB 2019.
Oh yeah, you like that.
It's really good.
A bumper crop month for games over there. Believe it or not, we've hit the halfway point in the Roper Report, 42 minutes in. I love it. I love it when the shows are juicy. Number four, Steam's got a Remote Play Together feature. This is Alicia Judge over at IGN. A new feature called Remote Play Together is heading to Steam, which will turn local multiplayer games into online experiences. Perhaps the biggest boon to players is the fact that, like a traditional local couch gaming experience, the feature means you can enjoy a friend's game even if you don't own it yourself. Remote Play works by one player inviting a friend to join their local multiplayer game via Steam Overlay. If their pal accepts the invitation, the game is run through the host computer and they begin playing together. The host player handles all the processing, while their friends hook in with their connection, controllers, and microphone. The game doesn't need to already exist in the friend's Steam library. An email sent out to developers and shared on Unity's forum informed game creators that any games featuring local co-op, split-screen, or multiplayer mechanics will be automatically supported when the feature goes live in Steam Beta on October 21st. Quote, "This feature is designed to add value to multiplayer games which do not already have native online capability," reads the email. "It will soon be enjoyed among friends online using Remote Play Together Beta, enabling fans to introduce your local multiplayer game to new audiences. Note that multiplayer games which are not explicitly designed for local play are still best enjoyed using the game's built-in online system," end quote.
This is really exciting. When I saw this last night, I'm like, I was making a mental list of games I want to play.
You want to jump in and play with people?
Yeah, like River City Girls is a good example.
Uh-huh.
That game came out recently, and I'm like, oh, I can't wait to play this with, like, because you need a certain, like, aesthetic, or a friend with, like, that has an aesthetic for that kind of game.
Sure.
Like, you don't want to just play with someone who's kind of barely interested in it, doesn't think it's, like, that kind of anime fighter brawler thing is cool.
Yeah.
So I played it with a friend at PAX, like, oh, yeah, when this comes out, we should totally play it because we don't live near each other.
Uh-huh.
And when I found out it was local only, I was like, oh, this is a bummer.
Wah, wah.
So, like, the second I found out this news last night, I tweeted the friend, like, fuck yeah, River City Girls, I'm going to play this now. Like, I can't. This is exciting. I'm very curious how it works.
Yeah.
Is somebody playing?
Do you think it's going to like be used a lot? Like, you know, it's the whole thing of like PlayStation, one of the PlayStation 4 when they launched, right? Of like, you can pass the controller mode, which is not the same, but yeah. similar. And it was like, oh, wow, that's a neat idea that I don't think I'll ever use and I've never ever used. And
yeah,
I don't
no. you know what I mean. Or like the thing where somebody can play for you in a hard part like that. Exactly. No one ever used that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't think it'll be used. I think it'll be used in a scant few cases. I imagine what they're doing is they're like, somebody gets a streaming version of the game. I don't know for sure like how they're actually going to do it. Like, because they didn't actually detail the technology behind it.
Yeah.
But if that's the case, that's not going to be, like, great. Like, who knows how Steam's cloud service is? Or does somebody have to own the game to play it? Or, is it connecting, like, NES emulators used to do? Of, like, I'm going to play River City Ransom with a friend because this NES emulator thinks they're in the same room. We'll see how it works. But I'm excited for it, even if I only have to get to use it like once or twice.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, whatever. It's a bonus, you know, a boon to Steam. Yeah. Here's another way to pay it forward.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be used for like fighting games that don't have online or anything like that.
Yeah. And that's the thing of like being able to jump in and play a game with a friend that you'd want to play local, but again, is all the way out there, right? Pretty good. Mm-hmm. Hold on one second here. I want to check something. Control F, Universe.
I do think like... This, like, their remote play together stuff and all that, like, everyone's making these very interesting quiet moves of, like, here's a thing that...
There's a reason to play on our stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's also, like, here's the beginning of a new technology that might become standard in, like, 5-10 years.
Making us look like clowns, Imran, and you're wrong. Rebecca Valentine writes in and says, the press release that IO and WB thing put out, the press release for that IO WB thing specifically refers to, quote, a new universe for IOI. So unless Agent 47 is leaving this galaxy, I think it's safe calling it a new IP.
She once yelled at me, or not yelled, she gave me a talking to because I read a DM she sent me while I was on the show.
Yeah.
So she's like, I'm never going to DM you on the show again. She can't do that, and also you're wrong.
Well, hey, man, you're wrong is the right way to go. Like, they buried it in one of the boring jargon quotes. Why wouldn't you lead with, in the headline, we're teaming up for a new thing? New, I mean, there's nothing in it in anything. And then I got to go, this is the quote, if you want some word salad, as Gary would love. Over the past few years, Warner Brothers has shown us firsthand, and this is the second quote in the press release, that they understand and respect our creative vision, and we're looking forward to continuing this relationship, said the CEO of IO Interactive. IO Interactive has a proud history of creating compelling characters and universes for our players to enjoy. It's in our DNA. As we embark on this exciting project to create a new universe for IOI together with Warner Brothers, we're currently looking for ambition. Come on, man. Come on, man!
Yeah. So they're working on a new IP and also working on a new Hitman.
Stupid Rebecca Valentine reading
and
every word in the press
list. Imran got a talking to.
I got a talking to.
Imran got! Hit him up, Corey!
Got!
Number five. Gift. Mike Ybarra is leaving Xbox. This is, goddammit, Rebecca Valentine, GamesIndustry.biz. Microsoft and Xbox's Mike Ybarra. And I'm saying that right. Ybarra, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
I've always followed him on Twitter, and I talked to him there, but I've never actually talked to him.
Yeah, it's a great, like, hosting this show, you increasingly realize how many people you just see on text
exactly.
and never actually hear their name.
Mike Ybarra has announced he is parting ways with the company after 20 years for a new, as of yet, unknown endeavor. Quote, after 20 years at Microsoft, it's time for my next adventure, he said in a tweet today. It's been a great ride at Xbox, and the future is bright. Thanks to everyone at Team Xbox. I'm incredibly proud of what we've accomplished, and I wish you the best. More soon on what's next for me. Super excited. Most importantly, I want to thank all of you fellow gamers and our great fans for all of the support. Keep gaming, and I hope to see you online soon. Ybarra's time at Xbox goes back to 2000, where he was hired as a systems engineer following a job at Hewlett-Packard. Over the years, he moved up into director and manager roles, working on projects across Microsoft, such as Windows 7 and Xbox Live, both of which he served as general manager for, and Xbox Game Studio. As partner studio manager for Xbox Studios, he signed and shipped titles such as Gears of War, Age of Empires, and Sunset Overdrive. In 2014, he was promoted to a VP role as corporate VP of program management for the Xbox platform, and in 2017, he began the role he is departing, handling Xbox Live, Xbox Game Pass, and Mixer, still in his corporate VP role.
So what do you think, Stadia?
Well, I mean, that's just the default answer.
Yes.
Oh, man, Sean Layden's gone, Stadia. Ybarra's gone, Stadia.
I like to think that Phil Spencer threw Ybarra in front of him to avoid the TGA curse.
Understandable.
So far, it's accurate. Phil Spencer's the only one surviving.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, I don't know what he's up to, but that would make sense, right? And again, you know what's interesting about this? Look at how you handle someone leaving a company
yes.
after 20 years and how it's not just a weird tweet from the parent company and no one else says anything.
Yeah.
You are here talking about it, being a part of it, and they had other things about it.
Do you
it.
Think his, like, weird... It was a while ago, but, like, he had a weird meltdown over Anthem. Do you remember that? Do you think it has...
Vaguely?
Like, he was very much taking exception to the reviews.
Yeah,
and saying,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, they were just playing it wrong, or, like, they don't get it. This game is actually amazing, and, like, yeah. he's super wrong. But it's, I wonder if, like, that had something to do with, like, him maybe dialing back, or maybe considering, like, maybe I don't want to work here anymore. If that, like...
I doubt it. I mean, it's possible, of course, but I feel like there's been enough breathing room in there mm-hmm. that I think it's just time for another thing.
Yeah.
You know, 20 years, and I'm sure, again, if it is Stadia... Google drove up with their dump truck full of money, and we're like, "Come on, get in!"
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
I mean, he has quite the resume. Gears, Age of Empires, Sunset Overdrive, not a huge seller, but actually one of my favorite Xbox One games.
Oh yeah, good game. Nobody's gonna argue that. Number six, Apple is selling Xbox controllers. This is Chris Welch at The Verge. Apple has begun selling Microsoft's Xbox wireless controller after adding support for the gamepad in the latest major software updates for iPhone, iPad, Apple TV, and Mac. The Xbox controller is priced at $59.95 and is available from Apple's website. Chris's report continues, "I'm not seeing any local stores with stock just yet, but it's not unreasonable to think Apple might give it some shelf space to help promote Apple Arcade. There's no sign of Sony's DualShock 4 controller on Apple Store, however. Apple also introduced support for the PlayStation 4's gamepad with iOS 13, iPad OS, TV OS 13, and Mac OS Catalina. Both controllers can be paired to Apple's devices over Bluetooth and then be used to play any games that support them."
Yeah, it very much benefits Apple to say, like, hey, we have controller support now.
Might as well, yeah.
And, yeah.
And again, to push Apple Arcade and have it in the store of, like, yep, here's a controller, buy it on your way out.
Mm-hmm. Like, I saw with the 7.0 PS4 update.
Yeah.
That, like, they had specific mention of, yeah, we're going to be, like, remote play is going to work on Apple devices now. You can actually just use a DualShock on there, so it's not a huge deal.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that everyone, like, this is a mutually beneficial thing for everybody.
Yeah, the remote play stuff was weird. I guess it's because it's more native, because it was working already. The controller support for 13 was there, let alone the fact that we had already had, what, like a month, or maybe even more than a month, kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, since the remote play app came to iOS devices.
Right.
But I actually, yeah, this weekend when I had it and everything was finally went live, I was using it in the hotel room playing Concrete Genie from the home, remote playing it from home onto the iPad with the controller. And I was shocked at how well it
is ran. That when he told Lucy to make sure your PS4 is turned off?
That was when, yeah, when the internet, yeah, when I was playing, having a great time, played for like an hour, and then just all of a sudden, boom, it was done. And I tried to reconnect, and it wouldn't. And then I was like, I tweeted about it, Lucy, make sure you turn off my PS4 when you get home. And then she sent me a hour later a photo that her smart lights had reported to her that the internet was out. And so it's like, what a weird 2019 where the lights are telling us the internet's out at home, and that's why it wasn't actually a remote play bug, yada yada. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I wonder if Apple, like, before all this, like, before they made these decisions, went to each of these companies, is like, hey, we want to have your controllers be native support. How do you think that can benefit you? What can you do with that?
Yeah.
And then Sony was like, well, we're going to go harder on remote play. So here's a new app. Here's, like, all this stuff.
Yeah.
We're going to make it a big part of our next update. And Microsoft is, why don't you sell some controllers for us? Like, why don't we, like,
arms
look
race,
at, yeah.
Right? How to do this.
Like, it benefits Microsoft to make the Xbox controller the default controller for gaming. Of, like, use this on PC, use this on your iPhone, use this on your Xbox One.
Yeah.
Like, make this the iconic imagery for whenever someone has a controller in their hands.
Yeah.
So this is very good for them, too.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
And then finally on the Roper Report, there's a new video game mental health charity launching today. Safe in Our World, www.safeinourworld.org, a new mental health charity for the video games industry, launches today on World Mental Health Day with the aim of raising awareness of mental health issues among gamers and creators and affecting positive change within the video game industry. Excuse me. With over 50% of the world's population playing video games and 1 in 4 people globally affected by mental health issues, the task ahead is daunting, but Safe in Our World will drive forward initiatives to support and help players around the world. You can find out more, ladies and gentlemen, at safeinourworld.org. They actually have a game called Fracture Minds out launching soon on digital platforms, PC, Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and Switch. It'll cost $2. It's actually from this girl, Emily, made it. She's a 17-year-old. She won a BAFTA through it and stuff.
Neat.
Very interesting. You can find all about it this at safeinyourworld.org. But, Imran Khan, I am excited to see what the trophies are for Fractured Mind. But that is still so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the mom and grab shops today, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Do 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 yeah. R Games and lists today are brought to you by two sponsors. We'll start with Hims. Have you noticed Andy and Nick's hair looking better? Of course you have, and that's because they use Hims. The problem, 66% of men start to lose their hair by age 35, and once you notice thinning hair, it can be too late. That's why Andy and Nick turned to 4hims.com, a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness for men. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims is helping guys be the best version of themselves with licensed physicians and FDA-approved products to help treat hair loss. These aren't snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements. These are prescription solutions backed by science. No more awkward in-person doctor visits or long pharmacy lines. 4hims connects you to real doctors online, which can save you hours. It's completely confidential and discreet. You answer a few quick questions, a doctor will review it, and if they determine it's right for you, they can prescribe you medication to treat hair loss that is shipped directly to your door. You can order now. My listeners get started with Hims for just $5 today, right now. They get the complete hair kit while supplies last and subject to a doctor's approval. See the website for full details and safety information. This could cost hundreds if you went to a doctor or pharmacy or somewhere else. Instead, go to forhims.com/gamesdaily. That's forhims.com/gamesdaily. forhims.com/gamesdaily. Up next, it's Quip. We're all using Quip at Kinda Funny, and that's because it's the best toothbrush out there. But what actually makes a better toothbrush? Industrial strength power, claims of miraculous trendy ingredients, multiple modes? If you ask a dentist, they'll tell you it's less about the brush and more about how you use it. That's why Quip was created by dentists and product designers to focus on what actually matters for your oral health, healthier habits. Quip's sensitive vibrations with a built-in 2-minute timer guide gentle brushing for the dentist's recommended 2 minutes with 30-second pulses, ensuring an even clean. Quip automatically delivers brush heads to you every 3 months for clean new bristles right on schedule. The sleek, intuitive design is simple to use and comes with a travel cap that doubles as a mirror mount. These thoughtful features make brushing something you actually want to do twice every day. Good habits matter to live a healthier life. So help form fresh oral health habits with Quip. Quip starts at just $25, and if you use our codes, you can get a free refill. That first refill is free at getquip.com/games. This is a simple way to support the show and get brushing better, but you have to go to getquip.com/games to get your first refill pack free. Go right now, getquip.com/games. All right, back to the listener. Do you know that I made the mental note when I saw it getting up to 7 stories? Mm-hmm. I need to move the ads physically. I never moved the ads.
Yeah.
I had to go flip the pages. You know
yeah,
what
no,
I mean?
It's very... the other week I was like... Or last week I was like, oh, I don't need to remember the... Or write down the intro this time.
Yeah.
I'm good. I've memorized at this point. Yeah. They get up there like, oh shit, I forgot all of it.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah.
Out today! It's a lot. It's Thursday. Spirit Hunter NG on PS4, Switch, Vita, PC. Vita, it lives. Mist Over, PlayStation 4, Switch, PC. We Were Here Together, PC and Mac. A Knight's Quest, PS4, Switch, and PC. River City Melee Mach?
I would guess.
On PlayStation 4, Switch, and PC. Corpse Party Blood Drive on Switch and PC. Volferis on Switch and PC. The Bradwell Conspiracy on Switch. Marble in the Wood on Switch. Monochrome Order on Switch. Family Tree on Switch. BB and Tina at the horse farm. On Switch. BB and Tina at the horse farm. I can't wait. Duped on Switch. Secret Files Sam Peters on Switch. Contraptions on Switch. Pocket Stables on Switch. Queen's Quest 4 Sacred Truce on Switch. Midnight Evil Switch. Little Briar Rose Switch. Radio Commander on PC. Skyus on PC. Bewitched on PC. MMX Otherworld Mystery Expanded Edition on PC. Alive to Survive Tales from the Zombie Apocalypse on PC and Mac. Search of a Home on PC, Death in the Water in PC. In between, the unique puzzle platformer from Gently Mad is available now on the PlayStation Store, and then the old school RPG bundle is releasing today on Nintendo Switch. Plug-in Digital is proud of its collaboration with Behold Studios to join Chroma Squad and Knights of Pen and Paper series together for an exclusive bundle. Also, the players who already own one of these games get 25% off. Barrett has for me the trailer for BB and Tina at the Horse Farm. Worth pointing out that it is BB and Tina ... at the horse farm. So yeah. There's going to be a lot more of this.
It's an anthology series.
Glad we are running it in 3080. You got different game modes, missions, challenges. Who you want to be? You want to be BB? You want to be Tina? So is this like a cartoon this is based on? I need to know more about BB and Tina.
This feels like a European cartoon.
Oh, here we go.
Jesus.
Looks like BB's riding this horse. She's hopping over
the
thing.
Seems like a ripoff of that Barbie horse game. One of the best horse.
Now you say that, but you don't know if this came first. Maybe
also,
this is a
like,
remaster of it.
How much can you really do with a horse game?
A lot.
Look at you're looking at a chicken. Did you expect that? It's Pokemon Snap.
Yeah.
Why are the chickens not cel-shaded? Like, Wait, hold on. Did they like grab the chicken off the Unity store?
This is making me sick. That spin there, right? Where they went, the horses went ass to ass and then spun and joints in it.
They're riding into a Nintendo 64 game.
Yeah, man, there's a lot of popping on those trees in the back. All right, well,
I mean, it's a cut rate.
This is the trailer?
Yeah. Whoa!
Wow.
Jesus. It's a thing of nightmares right there.
See, it's like when the Simpsons look at you head on, yeah. Right? Like, you know, like from the side, it looks totally normal.
They have like weird looking noses and yeah. Shit.
I was going to say it looks like one of those weird anime masks people put on.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Also true. Also
they
true.
Took the horse brushing from Red Dead Redemption
Lord
2.
Lord almighty.
This is basically Red Dead Redemption.
New dates for you. I said I'd expand on it. Here you go. Psyonix, San Diego video game developer, announced that the hit Netflix original series Stranger Things will headline the upcoming Rocket League Haunted Hollows event starting October 14th on all platforms. Similar to past in-game events, players can earn candy corn by playing online matches that can be used to redeem several or various Stranger Things themed items. In addition to general Halloween themed items, there's the Farmstead Arena has also been transported into the Upside Down, and the new Farmstead, the Upside Down Arena, will be available in the arena rotation during the event. There's a whole bunch of other stuff too. Limited time arenas, like we talked about. The items are like, you know, you get a Camp Nowhere Topper, a Demogorgon Player Man, all the stuff if you're into that Stranger Things. There you go. Haunted Hollows will end November 11th with a 3-day redemption period until November 14th, where remaining candy corn can be used in the event store.
Is Stranger Things still that popular?
I mean, they just announced another season of it. So
hell yeah. It's still fucking popular.
Like, I like watching it. I just didn't know it was, like, still a cultural event.
I don't think it's as big as it was, like, the end of season one, beginning of season two.
I think younger kids are starting to get into it. Like, okay. My sister really pays attention to it, so I imagine all of her friends are really paying attention to it and shit like that, so...
It's not like one of those things they won't let die, like Breaking Bad. The Wanderer, Frankenstein's creature, comes out on October 31st. It'll
Fuck
be on
you,
Steam.
PC.
I'm excited for El Camino. And it'll be coming to mobile platforms in November. Moons of Madness will launch on PC November 22nd, 2019. The release date on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One is January 21st, 2020. And then... Don't worry about that last one, because I saw it was about the corpse party.
Yeah.
And I was like, I thought I read that out today, but I had breaking news about it coming out today, which is weird. Deals of the day for you. Epic Games Store announced the next two free games it'll be giving away October 17th through the 24th. It's Alan Wake's American Nightmare and Observer.
That's smart of them to get like people interested in what happened with Alan Wake last before the Control DLC comes 100%. Out, which I assume is also going to be on Epic Games Store like exclusively for a while. But
the DLC?
Yeah.
Well, no, remember, this was something we got wrong when we talked about it. You might know about
it. The first DLC is exclusive to PS4, second is not, which is the Alan Wake experience.
Exactly, yeah.
So I assume on PC, at least, it'll be exclusive to EGS.
Time to squad up. This is where one of you writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Hold on a second. I read ahead on this. No, this is a prank. I'm not reading that one.
What?
Yeah, no.
Damn.
I got. Give me the one. Kevin, sorry. Give me the one, Barrett. There's the one not set up.
You
and
did.
Then
get
you
got.
Can do the got like
you got more than I got.
Get on
got.
It, Corey.
I'm just.
You're still glaring at me. Why? Is this because of the Breaking Bad thing?
No, because you called me Kevin.
No, I laughed because I was about to say it, and then I said it. I said, give me the one, Kevin. You can watch back.
Okay.
Because it was that I caught myself, but I still said it.
Yeah.
But
now that you brought up the Breaking Bad thing again, I'm now upset again about the Breaking Bad thing.
Well, it's just like, okay, do we need Better Call Saul?
Yes.
No, we didn't. Breaking Bad was great how it was, and we didn't need Better Call Saul.
You and Nick did not
and
give that show a chance.
And now do I need to see what happened in Jesse Pinkman? Not really, but I'll watch it. I hope it's great.
He deserved
and
a
I didn't
better...
give it a chance. I watched season one. Most
Better
of
Call
it
Saul?
Probably. Yeah.
The first season of that show, I would argue, is better than the first season of Breaking Bad. Just saying.
Yeah, probably. I dropped out of Breaking Bad, too, the first season, and then came back when everybody's like, oh, man, it's gotten better. I was like, oh, great, because it wasn't great when it started.
And also,
but then it's a great ride.
The finale for Breaking Bad doesn't give us a good wrapped-up story for Jesse Pinkman, so I'm glad that we're getting
this. But what do you think this one's going to give you? He's going to die or he's going to be president? No, it's still going to be like he's living his life out there. I liked it better that spoilers for the end of Breaking Bad, that he was riding away free finally. That when he does that yell of joy, he finally got away. That's all I needed from him.
I like that your idea of closure for a movie is dies or becomes president.
You either become the president or you die. Time for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. This is where people write in. TheKindOfFunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. Lord of Pwn says, did Greg not mention Killer Queen Black is out today on Switch? I didn't. You're right. Very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Saw the Kotaku review go up. We have had our codes, but it's hard to get eight people together to play games, so we will eventually do it. Here we go. Thank you. Arvel Kreinid says, Bibi Blocksberg is a famous German audio drama series for kids. It's based around Bibi, who is a witch who's having lots of adventures. Bibi and Tina is a spinoff series, and it's Bibi together with her friend Tina, who like horse riding. Well, that sounds great. Man, and then Paperboy wrote in to tell us about Bibi Blocksberg as well.
Are you all German, or do you just happen to know about Bibi Blocksberg?
Both.
Okay. Paperboy is like, yeah, we're talking about this. Yes, it's based on a German TV kids show, but this show has things that no way in hell would be appropriate for an American audience.
Okay,
for example, there was an episode where Bibi stalks her crush and seduces him by using an aging spell on herself that makes her an adult, seducing his kid crush is what she wrote.
What?
Awesome. Yeah. What the fuck?
Okay, actually, the cartoon looks way better than that video game.
Oh,
does.
I'm sure. Yeah. No, I wouldn't knock that. You know how it is. Okay. And Spencer says, I will not let this episode of KFGD end without letting everyone know that Pantsu Hunter is getting a physical release on Vita starting today. Only 1,500 copies at PlayAsia, so spread the word to Vita Island.
Is that Spencer's, Kevin's hot little brother?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But Pantsu Hunter sounds like one of those Vita games I was talking about yesterday. Mm.
The game has a very nice art style, I'll say that much.
Pantsu Hunter?
Yeah.
Or BB?
Pantsu Hunter.
Okay.
It has like a 1980s anime style. It's neat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it about me hunting pants, though?
Panties. I thought so.
I didn't want to say it. I didn't want to get someone in the nose. You know what
Which
I mean?
Is the, for the long, was because of that.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Of course, the content for games doesn't end here. You can go to patreon.com/kindafunnygames today and watch the Gamescast get recorded live. It'll be myself, Tim, Fran, and Imran. What are you talking about today?
After Party and...
Fuck you. I'm excited.
Yeah, the embargo on that's up, so I can actually talk about
it now. Yeah, this is the preview event. All right, cool. Yeah, because like, when they invited me, I was like, I'm already in. Just give me the code when the code comes. I'm going to talk about Concrete Genie. I'm going to talk about One Night Stand, and I'm going to talk about Remote Play.
I'll talk about Yooka-Laylee, which is actually surprisingly good.
Lots to talk about. That's 2 p.m. You can watch the live recording, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, or go to that site, grab it on demand tomorrow. No ads with the pre and post show. However, if you don't want to toss any bucks our way, you, of course, can go to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com. Podcast services around the globe on Monday. No pre and post show. It has ads. This show is up on Patreon without ads, too. You can go there and leave your questions and comments and all that jazz. You know that.
Good explanation, Greg.
Thank you very much. Tomorrow, Tim and I are back hosting this show. Imran, when are you streaming again?
I'll stream tonight. I think since October, I'm streaming like Resident Evil and Castlevania games.
Oh, nice.
Games.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Where can people keep up with that?
Twitch.tv/ImranZOMG or YouTube.com/ShockingAlberto.
Oh, Shocking Alberto.
It was a name. It's a name from an old 80s anime movie called Giant Robo.
Okay.
That I just stole, and I'm like, oh, that name's cool. I'm stealing that.
That's how most screen names go.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.